Good morning, everyone. Welcome into another episode of the Troy Farkas Show, a podcast that is not about me. It is about all of us. The 20s are a crucial time in our lives, and on this show, we navigate the highs and lows of early adulthood together. Thank you all for joining me. Hope that you all are having a wonderful week, that you've been getting after it at work, that you've relaxed when you've needed to, that you've cooked some good dinners, gotten some good weightlifting sessions in, maybe a kickboxing, personal favorite of mine, or some really good yoga. I just did some yoga earlier today. I mean, body feels great. So I hope that this week is treating you wonderfully, that great things are in your future and on your weekend ahead. Great things coming up on today's episode, because I really want to get back a little bit into the roots of the show here, of talking about my life and talking to the people in my life. Now, for as great as it has been talking to some young CEOs like Nico Enriquez of Willie Superbrew, or David Zamarin of Detrapel, or athletes, social media influencers, I've loved that. I've loved learning from people and getting out of my comfort zone in terms of just bettering myself, talking to people that I don't know, because that is a skill that I want to get better at. But I also just do love catching up with people and using this as a way to catch up with people. And the person that I'm catching up with today is an old friend, Katie Hendren, who I worked with at Afram Sports. I've talked about Aframs a little bit on the show with Matt Woodworth here before, back in February. For those of you who do not know, Afram Sports is this indoor soccer facility. It's in Colony, New York, so not far off from where I grew up. If you are from the Northeast and you played soccer, there's a damn good chance that you played some sort of travel ball, indoor ball at Afram Sports. And so what I did there was, I was a birthday party coach. It was my job to throw amazing birthday parties for kids anywhere in the ages of 3 to 12 on a given weekend. And so what we would do is, me, Matt, Katie, Kendall, who you will hear us mention later, we were party coaches, was what our title was. And basically what we would do is, we would get a schedule, we would get assigned a couple parties a day, 2, 3, 4 parties a day. There were different types of parties you could do. You could just do parties in the field where you're playing just field games, dodgeball, flag football, kickball, or whatever it was, playing with balloons with the little young ones. Or you could just do the bouncy bounce party where they're just playing on the bouncy bounces and, you know, you're telling them to be safe, hands to yourself. Or you could do a party called the ultimate party where you could just combine the two. And it was this whole long affair, and it was a good time. It was fun interacting with the kids, with the parents, making sure that their children's parties ran smoothly. And it's kind of makes sense as to why I'm a podcast producer now, because like, it's never about me, it's about the host, and it's trying to make an experience for someone else as good as it can possibly be. So there are a lot of parallels that I'm realizing, hence why I like it. And I loved Afram's. It has such a special place in my heart. My first job, my very first one, I had it in my last year of high school, all throughout college. I can't tell you the number of times I changed in the Afram's parking lot, going from one thing to another thing that was tied to school or my career, and then interacting with these great people there and interacting with the kids there and spending some summers there. I didn't work at the summer camps as much as someone like Katie did, or Matt or Kendall, but I always popped in from time to time and just had so much fun. And there's parts of me that wishes I still worked there, because it was so much fun and I love working with the people. And Katie Hendren is one of them. And I do intend on catching up with Kendall at some point as well. But I really want to talk to Katie today because, A, I miss her. She's an amazing person and I've always really respected her. We were working together, we're the same age, but I don't know, I always kind of looked up to her in a way. I don't know if that's weird, but she had been there longer than me. She was just a really authoritative figure, and I really respected her and the way that she went about her business. And I still do to this day. And I've always found her wildly fascinating, engaging. She's a really good social media follow. Her mind is all over the place, which I think is so representative of so many of us today. Our minds are all over the place. So we're going to dive into here some career decisions she's made, a big one that she has made. She is now basically starting from scratch and going back to school. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some of her interests, which include Disney, K-pop, and a whole bunch of other things. Super excited to talk to Katie Hendren. If you want to go watch the video, that is over on the Troy Farkas YouTube channel now. If you want to see Katie, who looks great, or me profusely sweating because I had to turn off the fan in the room in which I'm in, and it got so hot so quickly. So if you want to go check that out, that's over on the Troy Farkas YouTube channel. But here's the podcast version, and I'll talk to you on the backside. Enjoy. So I find myself in Bend, Oregon about a month ago, and I'm having some beers with an old colleague, Matt Woodworth, who was on the podcast a couple months back in February, one of the most popular episodes. If you haven't listened to it, go back in Detroit Park Show archives. But someone who came up in conversation as we were reminiscing about good old Afton Sports, our Friday, Saturday nights, throwing birthday parties, watching over little kids, was Katie Hendren, the guest on today's podcast, one of my absolute favorite people in the world, someone who I've always found to be wildly interesting, a unique perspective on life, unafraid to be herself. Those are the type of people that I love surrounding myself with. So Katie Hendren, so good to see you again. It's been a minute.
Hi.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm very flattered by what you said about me. That was very sweet. You were one of my favorite people to work with. So it's actually really funny when you guys reached out to me when you were together. I was actually like shocked that you were in the same place because I knew Matt was across the country, but I didn't know you would be there with him. So it kind of took me by surprise.
Yeah, I've in all of 2021 just kind of been floating around. I love telling people when I'm out and about in bars and people are seeing me and they're like, oh, where are you from? Where do you live? I'm like, well, I'm kind of homeless right now. Like, I don't live anywhere.
A nomad.
I don't have an address.
Yeah.
I don't pay rent anywhere, which is super fun to say. And people think I'm like wildly interesting when I'm not. So I'm glad that you think so.
It's wildly interesting. I feel like if I met you out at a bar and I was like, oh, like, where are you from? And you just said you didn't live anywhere, I would probably be concerned.
Yeah. No,
and then
but
I would
I'm doing good.
Be very interested.
The Instagram bio currently says in the location bar says somewhere in the USA, which is accurate.
Yeah, very true for you.
So absolutely loved working with you for a number of years. And I come to find out as we were just chit-chatting here pre-interview, turning the mics on, I thought that you were in the hair salon biz because I remember when we were working at Afterms, I love talking to people about their futures, especially when we were like 18, 19 years old. I remember asking you questions because you were studying at Paul Mitchell's, which for those of you who don't know is like a hair salon, like beauty, you know, salon school whatever. I don't know the words.
Cosmetology.
Cosmetology. There you go.
There you go.
So you were studying there and that was where you wanted to go. You're pretty firm on that. And I was so pumped for you. I remember being a test dummy for you. I got a haircut from you on like a in Schenectady at like a 9 p.m., which was a little
random
sketchy.
Day. Yep.
but the haircut was great. And you were obviously very talented and you're a talker. So I knew that you would be good at it. Come to find out, you are no longer in the business. You're actually back at Afterms, where it all began, running summer camp. So I need to know what went wrong in the salon biz.
So nothing went entirely too wrong. I actually still do hair, just not in like a salon setting. Like I still really enjoy doing it. It's a passion of mine. I keep up on my license. I keep it current. But I was working in a salon. I had been working in a salon for about 3 years and I just kind of realized that it wasn't something I was as passionate about to continue doing as my career for the rest of my life. It's something that I'm glad that I went to school for. It's a trade that's honestly really handy. People will be growing hair for forever. So they need someone to cut it and color it and style it and do whatever they want with it. But it just wasn't something that I could see myself doing forever as my like main career. So I definitely took a long time of like thinking about what I wanted, what I used to like, what I kind of have always been passionate about, which was working with kids, which is how we met. So I was like, I think I want to work with kids. And here I am working with kids right now. And I'm back in school to become a teacher.
Okay. Why exactly did you realize that this wasn't what you wanted to be doing long-term? Did something happen? Was it just a gradual realization?
I think it was a gradual realization. I was kind of just going through the motions with my job. I think it did kind of come to a head one day where I walked into my job and I was just miserable. I didn't want to be there. I was just kind of unhappy. I had anxiety about going into work. And then I was like, it's not what I'm doing, but it's the fact that like I'm doing it as a career. And it kind of just came to a point and I was like, I need to figure out what I actually want to do.
Yeah, no, I totally feel that. I think a lot of people, especially our age, because as I've said before, it's the most ridiculous thing in the world that we ask an 18, 19, 20 year old kid, hey, figure out what you want to do for
gosh.
The rest of your life.
Yeah. I mean, I had no clue. It took
exactly.
me a year of college to realize I didn't want to do that at that point in my life. And then years of doing hair to realize, wait a minute, still not it.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, who knows, like 10 years from now, I could even say, maybe this isn't it, but this is what I want right now.
No, when you get to the point of just dreading going to work every day, you don't want to be there, you're not fully present, which affects your quality of work, affects how you treat the people in your life around you. It's time to make a change. So I'm glad that you've come to that realization. Now, I have to ask before move on to teaching, you know, working in a customer service business like that, I'm sure you come across a lot of weird people. Do you have any like weird experiences, interactions that you're comfortable sharing?
I mean, I've probably got about a million of them. I have people who like change their mind halfway through a haircut about wanting the haircut that they're getting. I've had people ask for just kind of the most ridiculous demands of their hair. I mean, hair is a science. It sounds kind of silly to say that, but like doing hair is a science. It's a lot of chemistry, a lot of chemical reactions. You don't always get the same result every time. So you kind of get an even spread of normal clients to very strange clients to the worst people you'll ever meet. And then people that I still keep in contact with because they were amazing and I loved them. So I don't know if I have one that really stands out as a crazy, crazy, crazy experience, but I mean, I've definitely gotten yelled at a couple of times. I've definitely gotten complimented many times. So it's really just all over the place.
Yeah.
Dealing with that many people.
Do you think the pandemic, had the pandemic not happened, which I'm sure is something that just greatly affected the way that you guys go about your work, do you think had the pandemic not happened that you might feel differently about this?
So like with hair and everything?
Yeah.
So basically right before the pandemic hit is when I decided to leave the salon and go back to school. And then everything just hit all at once. And I said, okay, I'm gonna take a break for a little bit. Go back to a job that I know I like because I work with kids. And then everything shut down. And I was like, well, I'll go back to school in the fall and see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. So you're back to school now. Where are you studying?
Right now, Hudson Valley. I'm actually finishing up my last two classes. And then I will be going to Arizona State online
school. Love that. Mm-hmm. You should go to the real school. I was there a couple months ago and it's absolutely amazing. But
it's not that I'm not considering it. Arizona is a lot warmer than New York. So
Definitely is. So you're studying English now. Now, why did you decide to study English?
That is a really good question. When I was in school, in high school, my English teachers especially my 11th grade English teacher really helped me realize how much I loved the subject and how much I loved reading and writing. And he continuously always pushed me to do better with my writing. And I ended up getting nominated for some sort of award because of an essay I wrote in high school. And from that point on, I got really interested in like literature and everything like that. But it didn't hit me how much that really affected me until I was like well out of school. And I was like, I want to do that for somebody one day. I want to help them realize that they have a passion for something or really good interest in something. And if that is literature, that's even better because kids could always use a little bit more critical thinking and analysis and just, you know, literature, books, reading, writing. You could always use more of that in your life.
So as a lover of literature and writing yourself, when you have not been studying it, so back in your salon days, how was that showing up in your life every day?
I'm just a big reader in general. I have always been a big reader. I was reading a ton of books, even when I was not working and towards an English degree. So I was keeping up on my interest with it. And I think that also helped me shape what I wanted from like my degree and what I wanted to teach. I was bouncing back and forth between working with little kids, which I'm very used to, and working with like high school level students. And I think that my continued passion for reading really steered me in the direction of like high school level.
Now, there's a lot of people our age who say that they want to get into reading, that, oh, I should read more books, and they get recommended a book and they say, oh, I'll read that, and then they never do. I'm not an avid reader, not as much as you are, but I'm pretty much always reading a book at one time. I just kind of am not as fast with it as I would like to be. So what would you say to someone who wants to get into reading, but is maybe a little bit scared to?
Audiobooks are your best friend in the world. They will get you very, very interested into what actual books have to offer you without the, I guess, time commitment of sitting down and just like opening a book and reading it for an extended period of time. If you have a long commute to work, if you have a job where you can have a headphone in, or if you just need something to listen to while you do your dishes or clean your house, audiobooks are the best thing ever because they'll get you interested in literature and stories and the way that they're written and the way that they're told without the heavy, like almost burden feeling of like, I need to read this brick of a book to really get into it. And I know people who have like listened to audiobooks and then they go and they actually read the next one in the series or something like that, but it'll get you interested in the literature and the stories and the way that they're told without so much of a commitment to reading.
I love that you said that. That's a big reason why I love podcasts as well. You don't have to, you know, like you do for a TV show or like you do for a book, you have to sit still and actively consume this and actively like try to understand it. And that's the only thing that you can do. Whereas with an audiobook, a podcast, you can be on a run, you can be in the car, on the train, on a long walk, cooking dinner, cleaning, gardening, whatever it is. So I love that you suggested that. Now I got to ask you, what are some of your favorite books that you might recommend?
Books of all time. Let me see. So I am all over the place with books. With audiobooks, I'm always going to recommend the Harry Potter series because they are very, very beautifully narrated. Like they're just like amazing, especially the, I want to say it's Stephen Fry who narrates them. Those ones are great. They're a great introduction to audiobooks, especially if you've been familiar with Harry Potter. I know it's a young adult like series, but it's obviously kind of cemented a really good place in history. So it's a good place to start. I am a huge Stephen King fan, as cliche as that might be. I do really, really like him. And his audiobooks are also very, very good. If someone were looking into that, they're very well narrated. Overall, I am a big fan of Fitzgerald and Salinger, which is...
I love that you said that. I'm actually rereading Great Gatsby right now.
Are you?
And The Catcher in the Rye is one of my favorite books of all time.
One of my favorite books of all time. And that one's a really interesting one because it's different. The first time most people read it is for like a high school assignment. That was the first time I had ever read it. And you read it and you really identify with Holden, the main protagonist.
Yes. Yep.
And then if you reread it as an adult, it's an entirely different story. You just resonate with entirely different characters, which I think is really, really interesting.
Yes, that's why that's why reading and rereading is so key. I mean, there's several books that I read in the high school type setting. The Alchemist, Gatsby, Catcher in the Rye that I've now since reread and it hits completely different. I mean,
it's like an entirely different story.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear. I mean, I'm still not done with Gatsby the second time around. But my takeaway right now is that Gatsby is so fixated on, in order to impress Daisy, he needs to show her how opulent he can live and how how big a parties he can throw and all these people
that
are surrounding
him. How much he can achieve that American dream.
Exactly. And like, and this is how you impress people. This is how you win people over, when in reality, like that's just very shallow. You win people over by being a good person and by caring about other people. It doesn't matter about the cool stuff and trinkets that you have. So that's not what I would have thought when I was 16 when I first read it.
Yeah. And a lot of the time, if you're reading books for classes, you can also just miss those things entirely because you're so focused on certain aspects of it that are just what you need to focus on. If you reread it as an adult, you kind of, your mind has a little bit more freedom to focus in on the actual interesting points of the story for you individually.
So when you are looking to get into teaching here, so you're going to ASU here online shortly, what exactly is your timeline? When do you expect or hope to be actually teaching classes?
Well, that's also an interesting question because so hopefully I am going to be done with my degree. I want to say how many semesters I have, like about five semesters from now, but I do plan on kind of going nonstop through summers and everything. So I want to say, I'm 24 now. I should be done when I'm 26, hopefully teaching by 27, if I can really manage it, you know?
A lot of people feel when they say they want to go back to school to get another degree or to just completely change direction entirely, they feel a lot of trepidation about going back to school. Oh, I'm too old. Like I did this. Can I do this again? Did you have any hesitation or was it a no-brainer?
tons of hesitation. I struggled so hard with saying, okay, I tried something. It wasn't what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I mean, I felt like so lost when I had first had that realization, and I didn't know that next step in my kind of master plan of life, because I very much like to plan things ahead of time. I was very lost. I was very conflicted over, did I fail at this? Am I just figuring everything out? I'm in my 20s. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be 30. I'm going to die. I don't know what I want to do with my life. But honestly, going back to school was the best thing I could have done. And there are people who are older than I am. There are people who are younger than I am. There's everyone from all walks of life should honestly always be educating themselves, in my opinion. But you know, you're just going to meet people from a million different perspectives, and you sit there and you're like, okay, well, everyone does things at their own pace. We can't expect people to do things on that set timeline of go to college at 18, graduate at 20, 21, go to get a master's degree, go right into the workforce. Like, it's different for everyone, and you go at your own pace. And when it's right for you, it'll be right for you, and you'll get through it, and you'll do a good job. If you try to force it, it's probably not going to work out.
Yeah. No, I fully agree. I love what you just said. I think maybe there would have been more stigma about going back to school at 24, you know, 10, 20 years ago. But now I feel like the floodgates are opening a little more, where people are starting to take a non-traditional path more, maybe not going to college right at 18, or maybe doing a gap year like they do more commonly in Europe, and just realizing that, like, you know what really good life experience is just getting right after it, like right in high school when you can legally be in the military and legally vote and do all these things.
Right.
Like, you get so much experience from just being thrown into the fire that college can't necessarily prepare you for. So I'm glad that you are doing this, because, and I certainly remember when I was in college, you know, I took some documentary classes, and, you know, I was working alongside 30, 35 year olds who were going back to school. And it was like, oh, they're just my classmates. I didn't think anything.
Exactly. Like, your perspective, I mean, as myself, I'm like, oh, I'm the oldest person in this class. But then I'm also like, so what? I'm 24. I'm back in college. If someone really thinks that's strange, like, that's really on them. And if they don't, I don't know. I think everyone, for me, should be always going back to school. I feel like I'll probably go back to school a million times, because I just really enjoy it. And I think it's just always fun to just educate yourself further. So,
yep. Education, you never stop learning. Even once you get your degree, you should never stop learning. Should keep reading, should keep talking to people, and just challenge yourself every day. So congrats to you, Katie. I'm so excited for you. Now I want to move on to other things here. You've got a wide variety of interests that I just kind of want to touch on.
Yeah.
First, you have an obsession with Disney. So much. Actually, there's a lot of things that you have an obsession with. We'll start with Disney.
Yeah.
So I worked for Disney for a couple of years. ESPN is owned by Disney. And being a part of Disney, I had you in the back of my mind sometimes, because we get amazing perks being a Disney employee. You get a certain number of free tickets to the Disney parks anywhere in the world per year. You can bring as many guests as you want, and you get crazy discounts for hotels and food and planes and everything. So at one point I was like, if I don't use one of these, I should totally just send one to Katie.
Just in the mail.
Anonymously in the mail or something. She would freak out about that. I never got around to it. But Katie, why do you love Disney so much? Because I'm not sure if I know anyone who loves Disney more than you.
So definitely, this is actually kind of a hard question for me to answer. I have always really enjoyed it. Movies, any sort of Disney like media as a kid. I loved it. I ate that right up. I loved it. And then as an adult, and like more of like a middle school to high school, I went to like the theme parks for the first time with my family. And it was just such an amazing experience that I just kept wanting to feel it over and over again. Everything is so nice and like ideal and peaceful, and no anxiety, no worries. You're just there to have a good time. And that was something that I really loved about it. So when I got my own like adult money and adult time, I was like, I'm going to go there as much as I can, because why not? This is really fun. This is amazing. I love this. And I've done it many, many times, and it's fun every single time. And I've branched out. I've been to Disney's in other countries. I've been to more than just the one. And honestly, that experience is the same everywhere you go. And I think that's really cool.
How many times have you been to Disney?
It's a really good question. It's been a long time since I've been, actually.
Is it double digits?
Is it? I don't actually think it is. Okay. I can count it. I want to say seven.
Okay.
Seven. That's which not is totally tame. Crazy. It's tame.
Yeah.
But time and money permitting, it would be a lot more than that.
So you have been to Disney and other places. Mm-hmm. One of those is in Tokyo, yes. I believe. What was that experience like?
That was crazy. That was honestly so different from anything you experience in the United States. I mean, everything in Tokyo was so different from anything you would experience in the United States. But I was surprised to see Disney fall under that too, because when you think Disney, you kind of think cookie cutter, castle, princess, movies, everything like that. But it was actually incredibly different and very, very interesting. Completely different experience. The park was completely originally designed. The rides were different. The characters that you could meet were different. The entire experience was just insane for me personally. It was really cool.
Okay. So I want to hear more about Japan because, mm-hmm. you know, I've traveled a lot, but it's pretty much just been within the US and Europe. I've never actually really thought to myself much that I would like to go to Asia, but mm-hmm. convince me, should I want to go to Asia? Because I know you have quite the interest in just Asian culture. As
yeah,
a whole.
I mean,
so convince yeah. me, like, why should I want to go to Japan or just Asia as a whole?
Well, because it's just so different from the United States. It's incredibly different. I mean, it's a beautiful, like, Japan was a beautiful country, even outside of Tokyo. We had traveled outside of the city, like an hour or two outside of it, into a little bit more of like a suburban area. It's a beautiful country. It's honestly just like breathtaking. The city itself in Tokyo, which I assume a lot of people who would think to visit Japan, that's kind of the first place you want to check off on your list. I was there for a week. I didn't even see close to everything that I had wanted
massive,
to see.
Massive, right?
Massive, huge. It is just so different. The culture there is very much putting other people before yourself, which I think I can say is very, very different from American culture of very like me, my freedoms, my rights, my this, my that, which I think we definitely saw a trend of that during the pandemic. But it's very, very different over there. It is all about respecting other people, respecting your surroundings. I mean, the regular street crime right there is so low. People didn't even lock their bikes on the bike racks. There was really no litter. You could like eat off the floor in the public subway system. It was spotless. I don't know. It was just, the food is amazing. The food is always amazing. The culture itself, like the nightlife, the things to do, the beautiful scenery. I just think everyone should experience something like that once, being totally thrown out of your element into a brand new culture and experience. And you would be so surprised at how much you would enjoy something like that. It was honestly amazing.
Communication wise, though, I mean, that's a massive barrier. How did you deal with that?
Everybody spoke English to me.
Really?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you stick out like a sore thumb, but I can't believe that everyone knew English.
I had tried very hard to learn very basic phrases, you know, where is this? Thank you. How do I find this? Excuse me. I'm sorry. Hello. Goodbye. I barely got to use any of that. I was a little bit disappointed. English is actually spoken very frequently in Japan. It's actually, I don't know if this is a correct statistic still, but it's one of like the top spoken languages in the country. They teach it from a very young age. As far as I had learned from my time there, everyone who saw me just kind of assumed I spoke English and didn't really give me the opportunity to test out any Japanese. But it was a lot of younger people too. I think the older population is still less fluent in English, but the younger population kind of took one look at me and they were like, oh, hi, yes, let me help you out here. You probably need help.
Don't you feel so dumb when you go abroad? And by the way, excuse me, there's some fireworks being shot off in my neighbor.
Of course. And broad daylight.
Classic. But don't you feel dumb when you go abroad because here you think that you have to learn a little bit of Japanese that you never get to use? Meanwhile, everyone you're talking to knows English fluently.
I think the number one thing that drove me crazy after that trip was how little focus we put into foreign language at a young age in our school system. Because I mean, it's been like proven that the younger you learn a second language, the easier you retain it and the more fluent you become. And I'm sitting here on 8+ years of Spanish education, and I could not form a fluent sentence if I tried. Like, I couldn't, because I didn't learn it at a young age.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like really like it showed over there that they really, I felt so dumb.
Yeah, no, the dumb American thing is real. I know when I went over to Europe and lived in Scotland for a couple months, I lived with a Norwegian kid, a Swedish kid, and a Danish kid, and they could all speak to each other in each other's languages. Like, the Swedish could speak to the Norwegian in Swedish, and the Norwegian would communicate back to him in Norwegian. They would all understand it.
But they
and
know
then
what
on top
saying.
Of on top of that, they know German and Spanish and Italian. I'm like, gosh, I wish
can speak English.
Exactly. I'm like, I can speak English and can ask for beer in Spanish. Like, fucking awesome.
How I mean, that's an essential question. So it's good.
This is very true.
Necessary information.
So you also have an obsession with BTS, I believe, and just K-pop in general. Now, I would like to learn more about this because I don't know much about K-pop. I know it's a big thing. I know BTS is a massive international deal. And my girl Halsey is my favorite artist. She's very close with BTS and has done a song with them. So please educate me more on BTS, why they're so awesome, and why I should get into K-pop.
Well, first of all, it's just music. It's just like any other type of music. Like, I don't know. K-pop is a huge umbrella term. I mean, like, it's just Korean pop music. I like it for the same reasons most people would like any music. I like the way that it sounds. I like the message behind it. I like the artists. I'm a big fan of BTS. Obviously, most people who are into K-pop like BTS. Even people who aren't into K-pop, I mean, they've got 2 English songs that have been playing on like American radio. Their newest one is like the top of the Billboard chart for like the last like month. Like, they're insanely popular even to people who don't listen to K-pop nonstop. Like, their impact has been crazy. But I mean, for me, I don't know. I think it's really interesting. The entertainment industry and the way that they do things is very, very different from the way that Western and like American pop artists do things. They're very focused on a connection between the fans and the artist, more than just the fans and the music, if that makes sense. There's a little bit more, it feels like a personal connection, even though it's not like I don't know BTS, but it feels a little bit more personal than a lot of American artists feel, which I think is a huge draw to the industry as a whole and like all of those groups.
Have you ever seen them in concert?
No, I haven't. I actually really got into it during the pandemic, when I had a lot of time in front of my television to watch their music videos.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. I've not gotten into K-pop. I'm in a music funk right now. I don't know about you, but like, I just keep listening to the same things over and over again. Mm-hmm. I get super into one artist. Like, I've been on a big Taylor Swift kick lately. I don't know why.
Gosh,
I've been on a big T-Swift kick lately. I've been on a big Halsey kick for like the last 4 years. I just keep going on repeat and I want to get into new music. So I've been recommended BTS today and also Lorde. Perfect. Someone else recommended Lorde to me.
Always recommend Lorde. She's amazing. She's insane. I mean, music wise, I get that entirely. I think that I was in a very big music funk before I got into K-pop. I mean, I still kind of am if I really think about it. I was listening to the same 3 playlists that I've had on my Spotify for the last like 6 years. Basically, like a new wave post-punk 80s playlist, the same playlist I've had since high school, and then my liked songs. Like, that was all I was listening to. And then I don't even know how it really started, but now I'm listening to K-pop thrown in there.
Love it.
It's a big mix.
Absolutely love it. Katie, so you went to Mahanasin.
Yes,
a school that I honestly don't even know where in upstate New York it is. I've been there several times, played basketball there a couple times. Couldn't tell you the first thing about it. A lot of the kids who listen to this went to Shen or Saratoga, that area. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the deal at Mahanasin? What was Mohan like?
Mohan was interesting, to say the least. It's a smaller school. My graduating class, I want to say, had about 250 kids in it. And I think, I'm pretty sure compared to Shen, that's like tiny.
It's like
minuscule.
Yeah.
So it's a very small school district in comparison to some of the other ones in the area. It's Rotterdam / Schenectady, depending on where you fall in the town lines. So it's mainly Rotterdam, which is a pretty small town to begin with. Mohanneson was not known for sports at all, except for losing sports. Yeah. It's harsh to say, but I mean, we were kind of known for losing every single football game, especially like the homecoming game, which is kind of tough to admit.
Yeah.
But that's gotten better over the years is what I've heard. So that's good. We were really known for our music program and our arts programs. That was kind of the draw for Mohanneson, was I had very, very good arts and music programs.
Okay.
And I was a part of those. That was fun. That was great. I was in the marching band.
Were you?
Yep.
All throughout high school?
All throughout high school. I didn't know this.
What? What was that like?
Really fun, actually. Very, very fun. Something that you wouldn't expect to be really fun, but it would be more than just like marching in local parades. Like we would go and like compete against other schools, and in the area, like there weren't a lot of schools to compete against. We mainly competed against like Cicero, North Syracuse, Syracuse in general. Like,
I hear they're a powerhouse and marching band.
Clearly, I played the flute. I was really just lost in the noise at that point. You weren't hearing me individually. I was just kind of walking around the field. But it was really fun, very interesting. So music, again, really interested in music.
No, I absolutely love that. So, all right, good to hear a little bit more about
Mohan. I thought
Mohan.
You knew that about me. I really thought you knew
maybe
that.
I did at one point, but I've forgotten, you know? I'm so sorry.
I mean,
sorry.
It's not like I'm still doing it, so it's fine.
I'm so sorry that I'd forgotten that. Well, I've enjoyed learning so much more about you. Now, can you recruit your girl, Kendall, your friend Kendall, who also worked with us at AFRAMS? I wanted to get her on at some point because she's also very interesting because she's super into health and fitness and nutrition and whatnot. So can you nudge her? Because I want to have
her. I mean, I'll text her right now.
Please.
I'll text her right now and ask her to go on. I'm Fantastic. Sure she was interested. She was very fascinated when I said that I was going to be on this.
Let's go.
Because I was very excited. You don't understand. I was bragging about it to anyone who would listen to me, that I got to catch up with you.
Okay. Well, this is awesome. And I plan on coming to AFRAMS very soon since you're back at camp where it started. How is that going so far?
Pretty well, actually. It just kind of started. I think we're in the third week right now. So it's still just starting out for the summer. Crazy amount of kids compared to, I mean, last year with the pandemic, crazy amount of kids.
Yeah.
So getting used to that, but it's going really well.
Is that annoying little kid with the curly hair, the red curly hair? Is he still there? Tell
no,
me he's still
he is
there.
Not still he's graduated there, but I finally. Know exactly.
What was that kid's name?
Alejandro.
Oh gosh. Alejandro and his parents are so annoying.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. He was.
No, it's just a whole different group of kids, but they are the most interesting people in the world. Let me tell you, there's nothing more interesting than a 3 to 5 year old talking about anything at all.
This is very true.
Yeah.
Very true. We'll leave it at that. Katie, thank you so much for joining me. I wish you the best of luck in English and figuring out what you're doing with your life and building a new playlist. And
thank you.
I'll see you soon. Thank you so much.
I will see you soon.
How great is Katie? I mean, I just loved listening to her, and it's so great seeing a maturation. Not that she was never ever immature, but I just mean more in the sense that she's just growing up. We're all growing up. We are all so much smarter and more sophisticated and better people than we used to be. And I think Katie is exhibit A of that. I really like the way that she carries herself. She's super smiley and optimistic and inspiring to me in a way that she just has a really good energy about her, that's the type of energy I enjoy surrounding myself with. When I had a podcast earlier this week, I mentioned that we are all products of our surroundings, that it is imperative to surround yourself with good people who have good values and can rub off on you. And I think Katie is one of those people that is just a tremendous person to have around you because she challenges you to think a different way. She challenges you to be better, to do better, to be smarter, to read more, to do all sorts of things, which I think is really valuable. So Katie, thank you so much for joining me. You are a rock star. I am so pumped for you and all that you've got going on. I know things have been tough in the pandemic, and personally for you, there's been some tough things going on in your life, but I'm rooting for you. I think you'll you'll get over it. And you're a strong girl. You're a tough girl. Your sister certainly is, who's a little bit older than you. Shout out to Kim. She is, man, she is tough. Katie's tough. So super excited for you and all that you have coming up in your future. As for the rest of you listeners, I hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, follow the show wherever you get your podcast. Listen to it on the TroyFarkasShow.com. Leave us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts. That really helps with some visibility and, you know, on the Apple charts, and it helps people get, you know, helps us spread the good word about the show, which is always a good thing. But if you choose to do none of those things, that's all good. I still love you. Still out here spreading the love. Hope you all have a great weekend, that you get outside, that you maybe crack open a book or listen to an audiobook right after you're done listening to this podcast. I think that is a really good practice for anyone who wants to start reading and bettering themselves, because books just contain so much wisdom, and it's really something that I think all of us should get into. So crack open a book this weekend. That's Katie's thoughts to you. That's my advice for you. Have a great weekend, and then I will talk to you again next week. Have a good one.